WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The Secret Service says it's thwarted a plot that could have crippled telecommunications and law enforcement functions in New York City just as the United Nations General Assembly gets underway. ABC's Eric Katursky has more.
There are no arrests yet. The apartments where the equipment was found were empty. Investigators suspect the alleged plot is the work of a well-organized and well-funded group that law enforcement sources say is believed to be linked to China.
President Trump will address the UN General Assembly today. He, Monday at the White House, said that pregnant women should not take Tylenol during pregnancy because of the potential for an increased risk of autism. But a number of medical groups have said that decades of studies have not found a causal link between acetaminophen, the active ingredient in Tylenol, and autism. Jimmy Kimmel's show returns tonight after a suspension from Disney, the parent company of ABC News, over comments Kimmel made about the assassination of Charlie Kirk. This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Administration have announced $1.3 million in grant funding for coastal communities across the state. The funding will go to local governments, regional planning commissions, universities, and nonprofit organizations for projects that enhance public access, address contamination issues, and support educational efforts. A number of Northwest Wisconsin organizations will receive a portion of the grant funding, including the Northwest Regional Planning Commission and the City of Ashland. A pair of Democratic state lawmakers have introduced a package of legislation seeking to combat the spread of chronic wasting disease. As hunting seasons begin to open across the state, State Senator Jeff Smith and State Representative Jenna Jacobson introduced three bills to provide additional funding for deer testing, chronic wasting disease research, carcass disposal sites, and an education campaign. Since the disease was first detected in Wisconsin in 2002, over 8,300 deer have tested positive for chronic wasting disease across 60 counties. Rice Lake area residents gathered at the River Church on Saturday for the inaugural Walk for Lives fentanyl awareness event. The first iteration of the event saw a number of speakers sharing information on the dangers of fentanyl while organizers distributed free Narcan to residents. A representative from the Barron County Sheriff's Department also spoke at the event, warning residents of the uptick they've seen in overdoses involving fentanyl and methamphetamine mixed together. After the speeches, residents took part in a two-mile walk through the city. A stretch of land in Douglas County will soon become part of the country's longest national scenic trail. Over 300 acres of land was purchased by the National Park Service over the summer to relocate about 30 miles of the trail, linking Patterson State Park to the Douglas County Forest. When completed, the North Country National Scenic Trail will span nearly 5,000 miles across 8 states from North Dakota to Vermont. About 210 of those miles will run through Wisconsin, and about 140 have already been completed. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
A new pitcher for the crew.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball.
A new starting pitcher tonight for Milwaukee when the Brewers face the Padres in San Diego. He's 30-year-old left-hander Bruce Zimmerman, called up over the weekend to take the place of Brandon Woodruff, now on IL with a strained lat. The Brewers losing last night to the Padres 5-4 in 11 innings. San Diego clinched their spot in the postseason for a fourth time in the last 6 years. NFL. The Packers had a field goal block Sunday that could have been a game winner against the Browns. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
The unfortunate thing about special teams in general is when there is a mistake, there are catastrophic mistakes. I would say most of the emphasis typically when you're just talking across a league is placed on punt. Bottom line with us, I think it comes down to just being disciplined and trusting your technique.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some areas of fog through mid-morning, otherwise mostly cloudy skies with highs in the mid to upper 60s. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies with lows near 50. On Wednesday, some clouds to start, then increasing sunshine. A nice day with highs right around 70. Right now, it's 57.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, unfortunately, more PFAS are showing up in Wisconsin's duck population. David Drake will be here to break that down and what that means. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It is 8:06. It is nice to have you back here up north on this Tuesday morning, September 23rd, 2025. We have our Political Tuesday tag team coming up. Cam Stevenson from the nation's capital and Courier Newsroom and the Below the Beltway newsletter, talking about what's happening with the potential for a government shutdown and much more. So Cam Stevenson on the way, followed by Dan Schaefer at 8:35, Civic Media's political editor, founder of the Recombobulation Area, talking all about Wisconsin political news. But before we get to all of that, we welcome back meteorologist Brittany Merlot, along with Parker Olson, who's producing things down in Madison Studio A2. From Rob in Tigerton, it's sunny and 53 in Tigerton. It's sunny in Tigerton?
It's sunny in Wausau. I don't see a cloud, not any fog. Isn't that crazy?
I don't know if it's sunny here.
Locked in with you don't have a window, Parker. You couldn't tell. It could be raining frogs right now.
So hard. I can see windows, but I can't really see much.
Rob says he'll be back mowing grass after being off for 3 days because of the rain. Yeah, that sounds about right. Let's see. What else did he have to say? Oh, he wanted to wish a happy birthday to his brother-in-law, Dave. His birthday was yesterday. He watched the Lions defeat the Ravens last night. I'm not going to put that kind of... I'll invest in Packer games, but I'm not going to be doing Monday Night Football with the Lions.
Seriously?
So, yes.
They're good now.
They are.
I know they're good now. That I'm not going to necessarily...
Not like watching the Browns play against the Packers.
Well, yeah, please. Alicia says it's cloudy in Green Bay. So now that we've given you just the most higgledy-piggledy sky condition forecast possible, Brittany, where does it all go from here?
Well, it's all going to lift and clear, and we are going to see, unfortunately, more clouds south. So Madison, Milwaukee area, and down that way, you're going to stick with more clouds because that front is parked right over Racine, dipping down into northern Illinois. But the good thing is that it dips. So that means all of the rain is going to be staying south of the state. So we're only looking at chances of maybe a spotty sprinkle or two midday. And it looks like that stays up north mostly. Then tomorrow, those spotty sprinkles wrap over Lake Michigan and stay southeast by Milwaukee, Green Bay, and into the Fox Valley. And then the whole system clears on out of here and a high pressure moves in, giving us nothing but abundant sunshine for the rest of the week. Into the weekend and even into early next week, it is going to be gorgeous. So we've just got to be patient with this fog in the mornings. This is going to happen again tonight and maybe tomorrow night in places. After that, the winds start to pick up and the fog should not be a problem. But we are looking at high temperatures today in the mid-60s north to mid-70s south. It will be mixed skies, more sunshine north, more clouds south. And then tomorrow, a little bit cooler, 60s statewide.
All right. Well, I heard on local Eau Claire media this morning, they were almost apologetic, like it's the first day of fall. And they're like, well, but it's not going to be fall. Like, it's going to be really warm today. I'm like, why are you apologizing for warm weather? Oh, I'm sorry. It's not snowing yet. They may as well have said, I'm like, no, it can be the first day of fall. It does not. We don't need highs in the 40s yet. Okay.
No, not yet. No. We just want the fall colors and some sunshine. That's what we want for fall.
And that's
right?
the thing. We mentioned sure. that yesterday. It's kind of a nerve-wracking time that you don't want anything to happen storm-wise that, you know, blows the leaves off before we get all the nice change of colors.
It's so true. So I'm glad we have this dry stretch ahead. Mm-hmm. Let those colors pop and big systems stay away.
Pop the colors, get the crops off the field. Exactly, Brittany. Yep. Thank you very much. Have a great day. Hey, let's talk newsletters for a sec here because it's the thing right now is you get to your email box and you subscribe to the ones that you like. It's like a morning paper or an evening newspaper, but you get the sections that you want to read and you don't have to get ink on your hands and throw the rest away. So that's why we talk about our daily newsletter and our weekly newsletter on Sunday mornings. You head over to upnorthnewswi.com. You click subscribe in the banner on top of the homepage and sign up for one or both of those. Civic Media has a new daily newsletter filled with links to show highlights and more. Go check that out. civicmediatoday.substack.com. Yes, I'll say it again. civicmediatoday.substack.com is out there. And of course, Up North News is part of Courier Newsroom, lots of state outlets, podcasts, newsletters. And if you want dispatches from Washington, D.C., well, Cam Stevenson puts one together from Capitol Hill. It's called Below the Beltway. And you can get details at beltway.news or couriernewsroom.com, or just listen for the next 8 minutes or so as we talk to Cam Stevenson from the nation's capital. Cam, good morning. How are you?
Hey, morning, Pat. I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good. I mean, I always feel like we have to start with, you know, you taking your family and uprooting them, moving them from Arizona to the nation's capital. I feel like we get this almost like this reality series of, you know, Cam moves the family, Cam to the capital. The family is there. How goes the adjustment? I know you were like in temporary quarters for a while. Are you in your new digs?
Not yet. It's a slow process in the housing market right now. So between finding, long story short, find someone to buy our place in sure. Phoenix so we can find a place out here. It's a process, but gives us a chance to explore, figure out the neighborhoods and see what part of the city we like.
There you go. And we can play a role in that. If anybody is interested in buying Cam's house in Phoenix, just reach out to us through the radio station and we'll get you connected. I mean,
we
don't just do politics. We can do a little HGTV stuff here while we're at it. Okay. But you do have your day job of working as national correspondent for Courier Newsroom and looking at the recent edition of Below the Beltway. A few different topics in there. We've talked about the potential of a government shutdown at length already today. So let me set that one aside for a moment. In the wake of the Charlie Kirk killing, there has been what I'm calling a backlash to the backlash, where people said, look, we get that you are angry and upset that not everybody's a Charlie Kirk fan, and that some people are actually speaking out about what Charlie Kirk stood for and said. But the backlash to that is coming awfully close to infringing or trampling upon people's First Amendment rights to freedom of expression. And you point out in Below the Beltway that, you know, attempts to limit free speech didn't just happen recently and don't just happen to late night TV hosts. They happen in places like our classrooms.
Yeah. And actually, you know, our conversation last week is kind of what inspired me to look into this. Is when we were talking about Representative Van Orden and his just aggressive, blatant use of his platform as an elected representative to call for people to be fired, for calls for people to be silenced because they use their free speech. I wanted to look into, one, the legality of that, which is dubious, depending on which court you take it to, I guess, but really how we got to the point where that was socially acceptable. And what I found is a lot of these attacks on free speech and attacks on honest intellectual conversation started in the classroom with attacks on public schools. Now, in Wisconsin, what's the public-private school situation there? Are there vouchers?
We have a voucher program that is undergoing explosive growth right now. And I know we've talked to you about the Arizona aspect of that. It's just gobbling up such a growing part of the state budget. And yet without the kind of oversight and transparency that the public schools get.
Yes. Yeah. It's a way to funnel taxpayers to corporate school companies, essentially. And the way that they do that is, one, by convincing state legislatures to let people use public tax dollars to pay, subsidize private school, which sounds like you're all very familiar with. But what we don't look into too much is how it got to the point where there are enough legislators and enough people on board for that to even become part of the system. And it really started a couple decades ago with just sowing distrust in public education, sowing distrust in teachers, you know, calling into question their ability to teach, while simultaneously taking away their ability to offer a strict classroom. You know, where parents were simultaneously being hands off while expecting their teachers to do everything. This was actually a very well coordinated plot by members of the far right to erode public education. And this serves two purposes. One, like I mentioned, it allows these private for-profit corporations to set up schools, take public tax dollars, and then either shut down or close out, you know, certain populations that they don't want in their schools, usually divided by race and economics. And two, it allows them to essentially filter whatever they want their kids to learn. You know, they teach false history, they teach incorrect civics, they give poor examples of what leadership looks like. And so by the time these kids go through high school, you know, we have honestly the free speech problems that we have now, where people don't want to hear what they've been told is bad. People resort to violence, like what we saw with Kirk. And we see that public schools in Arizona anyway, and unfortunately, I imagine this will happen soon in Wisconsin, is that public schools are going to start to close because they won't have enough money and they won't have enough students.
Yep. We're talking to Cam Stevenson, national correspondent for Courier Newsroom, about, you know, that topic and more. And I also wanted to take note of something you wrote in Below the Beltway about Trump, President Trump, again, sending American troops into now a third American city without real justification. That, of course, would be, you know, Memphis, coming after Washington, D.C. and Los Angeles. He continues to, you know, threaten to do the same with Chicago. And so tell the folks a bit about what you wrote about the decision to send troops into Memphis.
Yeah, so I've been interested in this topic for a lot of reasons. One, I live in a city that's being occupied. And two, it's something that that Trump has wanted to do since his first term and is now finally actualizing that dream. But what we're seeing is that once the National Guard gets to these cities, they aren't doing anything. You know, they're honestly ridiculed online for that because they sit around or they're, you know, picking up litter or what have you. But what I was wondering is why they keep sending troops if they can't do anything. And according to law, they're actually not allowed to do anything because military is forbidden from exercising domestic law enforcement. It's not their role. It's not what they're allowed to do. And it's not what they're doing, despite what the Trump administration is saying. They, you know, they can't help with addressing crime, even if that was the goal. And so what I wanted to look into is, since they can't do that, why this expansion of troops? So I spoke with elected leaders in Memphis, in D.C., and in California. And what it seems to be is that they are essentially stationing troops similar to how military strategically stations troops prior to combat, where they see places where they're expecting there to be conflict. And so they're preparing their troops and preparing their forces preemptively so that when there is a conflict, they don't have to deploy and get them there, that they're already on site.
Conflict or midterm elections, as the case may be. And I'm sure we'll be talking more about that later as well. Cam Stevenson's newsletter, Below the Beltway, you can get it at beltway.news or couriernewsroom.com for all of Cam's dispatches from Capitol Hill. We still have in our next half hour Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area talking to us about Wisconsin politics before we wrap things up on a Tuesday morning. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward is teeing up with the Gopher to Green and Gold Text to win on WBZH, the Buzz of the North. Say my name, Big G, and slice $20 off your next round, now through October 31st.
This year, the magic is calling you like never before. Craft your own magic at the Wicked Wand Workshop and race for glory at the Ninja Warrior Challenge. Feast on hearty turkey legs and cheer on live combat jousts. There's something for everyone in our magical village. Bring your family, bring your friends, and create memories that will last through the ages. The Minnesota Renaissance Festival, weekends August 16th through September 28th. Don't miss the adventure. Get your tickets at renaissancefest.com.
There's no better place to catch Brewers baseball than right here. Every pitch, every hit, every home run.
And a fly ball to right center. Malloy is back, and this one is good again for Hoskins.
We've got the action all season long. Turn it up. Brewers baseball lives on your local Civic Media radio station. 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's real news and great conversation, and your home for the Brewers.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-859-3220. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 to 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-859-3220. That's 800-859-3220 for $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with. Call Big Lou at 800-859-3220. 800-859-3220.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9 WBZH.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. With me in the studio today is Donna from the University of Wisconsin-Madison Extension Office, but we're not talking about things that happen in Madison. We're talking about things that happen in Sawyer County. You're the 4-H director for the Sawyer County area, and welcome to the program. Appreciate being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark. I really enjoy my time that I get to spend with you.
Yeah, you and I know each other from the Sawyer County Fair, because I've been involved with the fair for many years, and you as well. And people think of the county fair as being, that's 4-H. Lots of animals. Everybody's dealing with a horse or a pig or a cow or chickens. But I've realized now 4-H is way bigger than just the home farm now. Well, tell me a little more about what 4-H is about and how it's grown from agricultural to other aspects.
For sure. So there's 4-H's on our, it's a four-leaf clover with an H on each clover. And the heart is 1-H, hands, health, and head. So we try to get kids to care about each other, be kind, a sense of belonging, giving back to the community is with the hands. Our health, about living well, balancing your life so that you have a happy, you know, self-discipline and making healthy lifestyle choices. And then your head, of course, is about doing some critical thinking and making good choices. And through the years, as farms, family farms diminished, and as needs in the communities were discovered, there's so many more ways that 4-H can provide opportunities for youth in counties, even if they're non-agricultural or minimal agricultural counties. And 4-H does a lot of project-based learning. Hands-on project-based learning is our biggest thing. And I know that recently we had a project guide that was released from the UW-Madison Extension. And I think there's over 100 projects in there, but I know that we can do over 1,000 different things with it because we also have project area that is individualized.
Okay.
So we may have a youth in our county that decides that they want to learn more about kayaking. We can make a project with kayaking. And my job as the educator for Sawyer County is to connect them with a mentor, with an adult that is a certified volunteer that's been vetted and gone through several certification trainings with me. And it can be done online or in person. And connect them to get them more passionate about what they want to learn about. So it's a lifelong learning organization.
Yeah.
You don't just stop when you're a youth learning new things. We notice that a lot of our volunteers that come in are passionate about a certain area or a certain project. That's why they come back to 4-H.
Yeah.
Give their skill sets and their love and passion for whatever project that they are interested in and learn along with the youth more about their project.
So outside of agricultural elements or projects, because at the fair we know there's a horse project. There's other 4-H projects that end up in the display building at the fairgrounds. So people think 4-H all about animals and agriculture, but there's other projects that show up at the Sawyer County Fair as well.
Sure, and I would say that it's a snippet of what really goes on in 4-H. At the Sawyer County Fair, we are a separate entity. We're guests at the fair, just like anybody else who can come in in open class and show off their projects.
Yeah.
But when you walk through that exhibit hall, you'll see woodworking, you'll see beading, jewelry making, pottery. There's a lot of flower displays, gardening, sewing, quilting. And I don't want to offend any of my listeners that have entered into other projects because I'm in a...
There's technology projects, photography.
There's photography. Mechanics. There's coding. There's mechanics in there. We have Lego kits. So there's STEM opportunities in there.
Yeah.
Food sciences. I mean, it's endless. And that's what it was so great about 4-H.
Tell us about this event that you have coming up. It's kind of like an open house. Tell us a little bit about that.
So we do. We have what we call the 4-H Project Open House Day, which is October 19th. October is our National 4-H Week, is the second week of October. We in Sawyer County celebrate it all month.
All month long.
1 week is not enough time. So we do it all month, and our enrollment year starts September 1st, and it runs through August 31st. So in September, we're kind of regrouping with the leaders and the volunteers in Sawyer County, and then we start our really hands-on projects in October and November, and then the rest of the year until fair. Yeah. And fair is our kind of our celebration and our display and our critiquing of how well we did in our project, learn from the judges, how we could improve what we learned or even stretch our brains and learn more about it. So and right now with this project open house, it's October 19th. It will be at the fairgrounds from 1 to 4 o'clock. We're going to have animal science stations, Legos, club favorites. This is all put on by the leaders, the volunteers, and the clubs. So it's youth teaching youth.
Yeah.
And youth sharing their things that they've experienced last year in 4-H to kind of see what the spark is.
Yeah. So if anyone had questions about 4-H, how would they get a hold of you?
Okay, so your best way to get a hold of me is to reach me at my email. You can try calling the office. Thing about my job is I don't get to sit in the office. If I'm in the office 5 days a week, I'm not doing my job because I need to be out there in the community. So you can email me at donna.nucky@wisc.edu. You'll find me on the Sawyer County website for Sawyer County government website. You could look up Sawyer County 4-H, and we have our own website, Facebook, or you can call my number, and I will get back to you at 715-638-3294.
Wow. A lot of information, Donna. We will definitely have you back more often, and you can explain some of these projects in more detail, and maybe bring some kids in with you. That'd be great.
Sure, they would be happy. They would be happy to participate.
You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
To stay up to date with everything going on in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the radio station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back with more Hayward area information tomorrow morning. It's 8:29.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for matinee on air.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is planning to review the results of a Minnesota study regarding the impact of wake boats on lake bottoms. The use of wake boats has become a controversial topic over recent months, with conservation activists warning the boats cause environmental damage and contribute to the spread of aquatic invasive species. Earlier this year, a group of wake boating enthusiasts filed a lawsuit against the town of Scott in Burnett County over a new local ordinance, arguing their constitutional rights are being violated. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding waterfowl hunters to take proper precautions when heading out on the water to hunt. According to a press release, taking heavy gear out on a boat during times of cooler temperatures and more unpredictable weather could create a dangerous situation. Hunters should always wear a life jacket while out on the water, avoid weighing down their boat, unload their firearm for transportation, and check weather reports before leaving. They should also inform someone of their plans before they leave. The Washburn Heritage Association is raising money to create a permanent memorial to honor the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald. The 50th anniversary of the sinking is in November, and organization officials say the memorial has already been designed by two local artists. The Heritage Association is raising money through a GoFundMe to cover the cost of installing the memorial for the anniversary. They say the top of the memorial will be a weather vane shaped like the Edmund Fitzgerald, and the base is a repurposed tower from the Ashland Ore Dock. One person was injured in a Rusk County house explosion over the weekend. According to Ladysmith Fire Department officials, the explosion occurred on Saturday around County Road A in the town of Flambeau. One person was in the home at the time of the explosion, and fire department officials say he was taken to the hospital and later transferred to a burn center in Minnesota. An update on his condition was not provided. The home is considered a total loss, and fire department officials are still working to determine the cause of the explosion. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. With all the negativity and polarization in the news lately, it appears that TV viewers just want to watch people dance. Dancing with the Stars premiered last Tuesday night and pulled big numbers with almost 6 million viewers. That's a big improvement over last season. There was also a big uptick in the votes cast by viewers, with 21 million total for an increase of 163%. The real reason for the rise in viewership, according to critics, is star power. If you're still watching Disney, check it out on Tuesday nights. Speaking of Disney, if you're upset about Jimmy Kimmel Live being suspended by Disney and ABC, check out Last Week Tonight on HBO. It is an absolutely brilliant show, both funny and informative. Fresh off his Emmy win for Outstanding Scripted Variety Series and Outstanding Writing for a Variety Series, John Oliver went after Nexstar and Sinclair for cozying up to the FCC. During the episode, Oliver, self-deprecating as always, said he fully expects to be deported back to the UK. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some areas of fog through mid-morning, otherwise mostly cloudy skies with highs in the mid to upper 60s. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies with lows near 50. On Wednesday, some clouds to start, then increasing sunshine. A nice day with highs right around 70. Right now, it's 57.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Kira Saban, positive psychology midlife coach.
People cannot take away our joy. When I spend time with people I love, putting my time and energy in things that I love that I think are important, not much has really changed. If you are worried about LGBTQIA+ rights, go volunteer at that organization.
You know you're moving the cause forward, and that's great for our mental health.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on Air.
Dr. Kristen Lierley is here.
I also don't want to, you know, sit and doom scroll before I go to sleep at night, yeah, because that's not good for my brain. It doesn't help my sleep patterns. Right. And
my brother-in-law, you went to medical school with him. He said at 2 hours, turn off all screens. At 1 hour, get yourself ready for bed. And he goes, and Greg, bed is for two things. That's it.
What are they?
Moving on.
Sleeping
in chess. Listen to you laugh.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the host of the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, Dr. Kristen Lierley, who joins me in studio. Then Logan Rogge of Travel Wisconsin talks about fall events. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Tomorrow on the program, we will be talking to the State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Jill Underle. She gave the State of Education address at the state capitol late last week, and so we will be talking to her about some of what she had to say about the state of education, and maybe if there was anything that didn't make the final cut, other things that she wanted to say in her remarks under the Capitol Dome. So we'll have her on. We will also have a guest who's an expert in public health policy. Kathy Hempstead is her name. She's a national health policy expert with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, talking about healthcare tax credits and what they mean for individuals across America, especially now that they're in danger of being slashed by that, you know, big bloated boondoggle that Donald Trump passed. Or maybe they'll get restored because that's what Democrats want, to avoid a government shutdown. Regardless, Kathy Hempstead will talk about that. She and Dr. Jill Underle, state superintendent, tomorrow here on the program. But this morning on the program, we have Dan Schaefer. He's the political editor for Civic Media. He's the founder of the Recombobulation Area, therecombobulationarea.news. Mr. Schaefer, good morning. How are you?
Mr. Kreitlow, good morning to you as well. Always wonderful to join you here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Where do we want to start here?
Where Let's do you go. Want to start today, Pat?
I want to start with a new package of bills, or maybe it's a single bill by Republicans about elections that essentially wants to swat a fly with a howitzer. The swatting the fly, the very easy thing to do would be to allow for Monday processing of absentee ballot envelopes, not the ballots themselves, but verifying the names, the addresses, the witnesses, all that kind of stuff, so that then you can open them, run them on Tuesday on Election Day. Mm-hmm. That should be just a clean bill, should have been done years ago to get rid of that tired talking point about, you know, late night ballot counting in Milwaukee and other big cities.
It but got close last time, too, as a standalone bill. It passed the assembly and hit roadblocks in the Senate. So yes, it did have some inertia to get that done. Unfortunately, didn't get across the finish line.
It did not. And so now to hear Assembly Minority Leader Scott Krug tell it, they've got a bill that'll do this. Oh, but by the way, there are some strings attached. Here come the howitzers. Dan, why did they make this so complicated to add webcams on municipal websites pointed at drop boxes and law enforcement, accompanying any visits to ballot boxes to move ballots? It's almost like they're not serious about wanting to do the easy thing, that they have to throw all these hard things on there too.
Well, they haven't been able to do the easy thing. That's part of the problem here. And I guess if nothing else, I have to give them credit for, you know, if something fails, try something different. And so they're trying something different. I'm not sure. I want to see some more of the details on what exactly they're proposing for drop boxes, what they're proposing for law enforcement. You know, I think there are so many of these election-related issues on the right that just comes down to telling your voters the truth about these things and telling your voters there is no conspiracy about late-night ballot dumps in Milwaukee. There is no conspiracy about ballot drop boxes. There is no conspiracy about, you know, the chain of I'm blanking on the word here, but there is no conspiracy and just like the possession of the ballots and all of that. And so much of that since 2020 in particular has just come down to being honest with your voters about this, being honest with your supporters And, you know, so things don't spiral out of control and we end up with ridiculous Gableman investigations that spend millions of dollars and do nothing. Just like part of it is just you just need to be more honest with your voters about the reality of these things. But you know what? If that's not breaking through, I don't know if I'm going to end up agreeing with all of these measures that Krug and others are proposing here. But I do appreciate they're trying. They're trying to get this absentee ballot thing across the finish line. The GOP has concerns. Again, I don't think they're that legitimate about drop boxes. Maybe there's a simple way to address this to quell some of those concerns. Maybe there's a simpler way than what is being proposed here to address some of those concerns, but I do appreciate that they're trying. I appreciate that they're trying to get something done, and I always appreciate lawmakers who are taking a more pragmatic approach than just trying to do and say things to get headlines.
Well, and that's where I appreciate having you on, that you're essentially giving the benefit of the doubt to the Republican authors, saying, let's find a way to get the early processing done, that might also address some people's concerns. And that is definitely a glass half full way of looking. And I completely admit that I'm taking the glass half empty view of it that says, we don't want that. We want to continue the conspiracy. So we're going to add on some stuff that also claims, ties into conspiracies, that drop boxes are not trustworthy and things like that. So will something result from this that would pass and that would survive a veto by Governor Evers, or is this all just for show? I guess that's why you play the game, as the coaches like to say. It's why you hold the fall session and you see what comes out.
And I think too, I'm waiting to see the full rollout of this. This has passed the assembly. Representative Krug is in the assembly. Are there going to be any Republican state senators who are going to be getting on board with this too? Because that's where things stalled last time. If we're looking at the practicality of the path forward for some of these bills, like the early count bill passed in the assembly. It didn't in the Senate. So are there going to be people in the Senate joining for the rollout of this bill? I think that is an important factor to consider as well.
It really is, because it's something that, those of us who watch or have been in the legislature know very well, but most others do not, is that the difference in caucuses, the Assembly Republicans and the Senate Republicans are frequently not on the same page, maybe not on positions, but on strategy or on specifics. And the same can be said of House Republicans and Senate Republicans in the U.S. Capitol. And by the way, same goes for Democrats. It's just that we're talking about Republicans because they're in control right now. And I don't know how to explain it any other way than to say turf. These are turf battles between two different caucuses of the same party. And we see it a lot in the state capitol, in this case, especially with Assembly Republicans and Senate Republicans.
Yeah, and it's such a good point. There is, this level of disarray, regardless of which legislative body you're looking at. But I think one thing that in among the Republicans here, Robin Voss has been the longest serving assembly speaker in state history, and he has been remarkably effective at getting his caucus to line up behind him on so many issues over the years, this being another one. But in the Senate, I think we're seeing, it has really been much more all over the place, especially lately. Like we had in the budget, you had the assembly minority leader and the Senate president, both Republicans, voting on opposite sides of the budget bill. And I think it was the first time in a really, 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 really long time that that had been the case. And I think that is indicative of some larger tension and disarray that might be the case in among Senate Republicans. I think that is where, if you're looking at the outlook here for the next, year plus of governing in Wisconsin, I think the assembly might be able to get some things done Republicans might be able to pass some things in the assembly. But are they going to get anywhere in the Senate when they have the Republicans are very much not on the same page? The Democrats are waiting to flip the Senate and win the majority there in a year from now. I think that, they're already announced a number of very strong candidates that would have the opportunity to do that. I wonder what kind of reaction we're going to see in the Senate.
And by the way, this next point is very inside baseball. I'm going to admit that first and foremost. But if you want to know if the two caucuses from the same party disagree on something at the moment, watch for the sign of one of them passing a bill and then adjourning, gaveling out a session, because that means the other house, the House, the Assembly, the Senate, can't amend it and send it back to them because they've already gone home. It's like, nope, this is here to final offer. We're going home. If you ever see that, instead of waiting for each other, working out their disagreements and all that, if you don't see that, there is dissension. It's why you see those headlines, Democrats in disarray or Republicans in disarray. And it's goofy. And again, it's a theme we've hit several times here is we all have to compromise in our day-to-day lives. And yet our politicians have sometimes the toughest time doing it. We're talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and political editor of Civic Media. Since our last conversation, there's been another candidate coming in for governor. Francesca Hong announced last Wednesday, 2 days after Senator Kelda Royce got in the race. What's your assessment of the gubernatorial field and, you know, whether we're at a static state now or if we may be seeing more changes in the number of candidates in the near future?
Yeah, for one, I think we're gonna continue to see more candidates. I think this is going to be a pretty big field. But just to, you know, we talked a little bit about Roy's announcement when I was on the show last week. So let's talk a little bit about Representative Hong's announcement. So I wrote this too early breakdown of the governor's race that you can read over at the Recombobulation Area. And I kind of had a big four of top contenders, which included Sarah Rodriguez, David Crowley, Kelda Royce, and the one candidate who's one of the candidates rumored to be announcing, but has not yet announced, an Attorney General Josh Call. Not sure what's happening with his political future, but that's a conversation for another time. But I had listed Francesca Hong's potential candidacy on that list, and I characterized her as the wild card because I think that is the type of energy that she's going to bring into this campaign. She actually, I think, has embraced that a little bit. She talked about wanting to be the wild card in a few different interviews during the rollout last week. You know, I one of the things about her and her candidacy that's already evident and is going to continue to be evident is that she's going to be just working really hard. She's announced this statewide tour. She's having events all over the place. She's been super active online. And I think that is just going to put pressure on the rest of the field to up their game a little bit because nobody's going to outwork her. Having restaurant jobs in my past as well, nobody's going to outwork somebody who's had service industry jobs and working in restaurants. So I think she's just going to make everyone else in the field work that much harder. And I think that's ultimately a very good thing.
Yes. And she is the one who, again, when we say wild card, you say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, at some point, these candidates are going to have forums, if not full on debates. And Fran Hong is among those, especially those in the Socialist Caucus, who have come out and said, not just we want to hike in the minimum wage, we want it to be $20 an hour. And now this is just an example, and I'm putting words in her mouth, but she's the kind of candidate who at a forum would hear somebody give an answer, yes, we need a higher minimum wage, and she would just right out say to that fellow Democrat, say it, just say $20. Why won't you say $20 an hour? And you know why they won't? Because they don't want to be pegged down to a specific number. But Fran is the kind of person who'll be like, say it, $20, because otherwise maybe it's just $8 an hour. That's not going to work. And she's the kind of candidate who's going to hold fellow Democrats to the fire.
Yeah, and I also just think it's just almost the blocking and tackling of a campaign, and she's just going to be out there talking to people and meeting with people and going all over the state, and I think that is going to make everybody else just kind of up their game in these things, and I think that is, that competition's a good thing. Competition brings the best out of us, and I think that is part of why we want to have a primary like this.
Yeah, and that's where I think, again, even though more candidates may be coming, I think even with the ones that are in already, it may not be much longer before we start to see these kinds of forums where they can, again, iron sharpens iron.
And that's right.
You get that through just these kinds of things. We're talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, and we will have some final news and notes with Dan and more from Lake Wissota. Coming up next, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's Real News and Great Conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
Swing big at Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward, bringing you the Golf for the Green and Gold text to win on WBZH, the Buzz of the North. Mention Big G and get $20 off your next round. Hurry, offer ends October 31st.
The Buzz of the North is now your home for Milwaukee Brewers baseball.
And he struck him out swinging. Went right back to that sinker and strikes out Iglesias to strand the Mets with the bases loaded.
The Buzz of the North.
Fly ball, right field. It is deep. It is gone! We are tied in the eighth inning on the second homer of the night from Jackson Churio.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball on 96.9 WBZH. The Buzz of the North.
Are unauthorized immigrants eligible for federal Medicaid coverage? No. Unauthorized immigrants are not eligible for traditional federally funded Medicaid health insurance and never have been. A 1996 law also requires most authorized immigrants to wait 5 years for eligibility. 14 states, not including Wisconsin, use state funds to cover unauthorized immigrants. President Trump has proposed cutting federal Medicaid funds to those states, which could drop 1.4 million people from health care coverage. In Wisconsin, Medicaid covers 1.28 million people at a cost of $12.1 billion. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A new analysis from Clean Wisconsin shows AI data centers in the state will use more power than all the homes in Wisconsin combined. Potential energy demand has been disclosed for just two projects in the state, the Vantage Data Center in Port Washington and Phase 1 of the Microsoft Data Center in Mount Pleasant. Those two projects alone require a combined 3.9 gigawatts of power, which is enough energy to power more than 4 million Wisconsin homes. Wisconsin has just under 3 million housing units in the entire state. Senator Tammy Baldwin has announced Senate passage of a bill that will help protect Wisconsin lakes from toxic algae. The legislation would improve monitoring, forecasting, and prevention of harmful algal blooms by requiring better coordination among task force agencies, state and local entities, and tribes. Right now on the Defender podcast, the Wisconsin Climate March is coming. Listen to find out more at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local civic media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free civic media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
Tomorrow on the program, we will have State Superintendent Jill Underle, also Kathy Hempstead from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, on healthcare tax credits that Republicans in Congress and Donald Trump want to cut. They are at the center of the debate over a potential federal government shutdown. So all that and more tomorrow, but we're continuing things today here with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, civic media political editor, and also a guy who's doing a lot of stuff with a newsletter. And that would include Civic Media's new daily newsletter, Civic Media Today, on the one and only Substack.com. This is a project that's kept you busy, young man.
Sure has. We've kept a lot of us busy. We've been putting a lot into this brand new newsletter. It's Civic Media Today. We're really excited about it. And it is just going to be a really terrific way for people to connect with all things across the Civic Media extended universe. There is, you know, links to live streams, Spotify podcasts, links to all of the news that we have from all over the state, led by our news director, Sholly Pittman. And I think this is, you know, for those of you who may only listen to, you know, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, or may only know one other show on the network or something like that. This is a great way to engage with the huge amount of content that we produce every day across the Civic Media Network. And it's I think it's going to be a really, and we have a little bit of fresh news to start things off each day with this newsletter. And I think it's just going to be a great one-stop shop to connect with everything, all things civic media.
And I say this as somebody who, you know, we've got an Up North News daily newsletter. We've got a weekly newsletter. I've got so many other newsletters that I like to look at. But I mean this very sincerely. This is one of the best designed, best put together newsletters of all the ones that I get in terms of links to the shows, links to stories that you're working on. Obviously, we'd love if people subscribe to all these shows as podcasts as well. But if you're not and you still want to see what seem to be some pretty important clips, you got to go see this. It's civicmediatoday.substack.com. Again, civicmediatoday.substack.com. Being put together by Dan Schaefer and a cast of thousands all across civic media land. There, among the stories you'd see there and others places would be more campaign announcements, not just for governor, but also for seats in the state assembly and the state senate. It was a busy one last week. You know, Corrine Hendrickson announcing on our show here that she was running in the 17th Senate district, making her the third Democrat seeking to unseat Howard Markline, the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee. But we are definitely in campaign announcement season this time of year, aren't we, Dan?
We sure are, and those have really been ramping up in recent weeks, and a couple big ones in here in the southeastern Wisconsin area over the past few days. So last week, Democrat Trevor Young announced that he would be running for state senate in District 21. Young is currently works for the city of Racine, and he previously served as an alderman in there in his hometown as well. Trevor is a young guy, so this would be a big shift in that representation in that district. The guy who is currently the incumbent there, State Senator Van Wangard, who has been there in quite a long time. And this is as close to a 50-50 district as there is going to be in the state Senate map next year. Last year in the election, this Kamala Harris won this by 1 point, Tammy Baldwin by 2 points, currently represented by a Republican incumbent, Van Wangard, who is also about the same age as Tony Evers. So we don't know if he's going to be running for another 4-year term there as well. So certainly one of the, you know, and this is one of the top pickup opportunities, potential pickup opportunities for Democrats on the state Senate map next year. There are three districts won by Kamala Harris last fall that are currently represented by Republicans that have not seen elections under new maps. So this is one of those three. And I think this is really going to be one to watch. I'm really interested to see if Wangard will run again.
And I would be the first to note that his predecessor, Democrat John Lehman, I served with him in the state Senate in that area, obviously not the exact same district with the new maps, but it would not be unprecedented to have a Democrat serving in that Senate district again for the first time in several years now. From a state Democratic Party standpoint, there's a new what do we want to call this? Well, they call it the Governor's Readiness Project. What is it that they're doing to help prepare the candidate field for 2026?
Yeah, so the Democratic Party of Wisconsin made this announcement yesterday that seems pretty interesting. It's called the Governor Readiness Project, and I think this is, you know, basically recognizing that there is going to be a big field in the campaign for governor, and that, you know, without wanting to put their thumb on the scale for any particular candidate throughout the primary, this is mainly the main focus here is to get whoever the Democratic nominee is ready for the general election in November 2026. And I think part of this is because Wisconsin's partisan primary is in August, so it doesn't give people that much time to run in the general election. You know, I do think a long-term thing we should think about is moving that partisan primary to the April-spring election to give candidates a little bit more time to run in the general, but perhaps that's a conversation for another time. But it's interesting to see the Democratic Party of Wisconsin be especially proactive about this. And Tony Evers is getting involved. A number of, you know, kind of top officials from the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, including Chair Devin Remicker, are getting involved. And I'm going to be interested to see how this plays out in practice. But I think being this proactive about it is just really smart planning.
It is, because there's going to be a wealth of primaries in all of these legislative districts, in some congressional districts. And the worst thing that the Democratic Party, and I'm sure Republicans as well, have done at the state and county level is just sit on their hands and wait until there's a nominee and do virtually no preparation, no messaging or anything. So like, for example, the Eau Claire County Party could do a lot to help facilitate the three Democrats running in the third district and not just sit there. So if the state party is showing that level of interest, activity, messaging, and preparation, that is a net positive for them. Read more from Dan Schaefer at therecombobulationarea.news and certainly through Civic Media. Dan, thank you. It's always good to connect. Have a great day.
Thanks, Pat. Be well.
All right. Thanks to all of you as well for being part of our mornings powered by Up North News. Enjoy your Tuesday. See you back here bright and early, 6 a.m. tomorrow here up north.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Ahead of President Trump's address to the United Nations General Assembly, Secretary of State Marco Rubio on ABC's Good Morning America defended the U.S. position in the world despite the decision earlier this year to close USAID.
People have died because gangs steal the aid. People have died because the distributors of aid have not done well. People have died because other countries haven't stepped up. But the United States has saved more lives and continues to save more lives than any other country in the world. And we're going to continue to do it, but we're going to do it the right way and in a responsible way.
The Secret Service has thwarted a plot that could have devastated cellular communications in and around New York City. No arrests have been made, but a source familiar with the investigation tells ABC it's suspected to be the work of a group with links to China. Shares of the company that makes Tylenol have recovered ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street after President Trump said pregnant women should not take Tylenol because of autism risks. Medical groups say studies have not found a causal link. This is ABC News.